Good evening, everybody. Before we go into God's word, I just want to share this. God, I don't know, I believe strongly in my heart that I'm sharing this and to bless someone. Take God's word for real every time. Take God's word for real every time. Since on Sunday, I was having this terrible pain on my leg, my left leg, very excruciating. In fact, as a Tuesday, when I was trying to get up from the bed, I couldn't get up. My wife came and helped me to get up. You know, on Sunday, when Stephen was asking every man, what did your father tell you? I didn't have the chance to say what my father told me. And when I go home, I was reminding my children what my father told me. I think I mentioned it to my wife again. The word he told me that I will never forget is that real men cry. Yes. So with that, I grew up with that, so I'm not afraid to cry when there's need to cry. You see those men that do, men don't cry. When they break badly. So when my wife was trying to help me up from the bed, I was crying because the pain was terrible, very excruciating. I couldn't use my left leg. It was that bad. And so we started, I was just praying and trusting God for healing. Sometimes it will relieve me a bit. The pain will stay. After a while, my wife will still ask me, is this pain still here? I remember this morning we went for a meeting and we were praying. I was seriously praying about it. And when we finished, as I was about entering the car, she saw me. Initially I was walking well. And after a while, I was limping again. And she said, is this pain still here? I said, that's what I see. You know, your mouth should be used well. Yeah. The response was supposed to be, it's gone. It doesn't matter what I'm seeing. It's gone. I couldn't do this. Praise the Lord. So, and I, from then, that afternoon, as we finished that meeting, I said to myself, I will not use my lips to say what I am seeing. I will say what I know in my heart, that I believe according to his word that he has done. Hallelujah. And that's who we are. Confessing rightly God's word, irrespective of what you are seeing. Amen. Like I said, this may just be something that will bless someone. I don't know what you are battling with or whatever challenge that's facing you. God's word should come out of your mouth as it is. Don't speak according to the situation. Because as I was driving, because I was thinking of it, and she don't ask me, so this thing really. And you know, the funniest part is that after that response, the thing kept giving me concern, like it's still there. And I was feeling it. I got home as I was about climbing. You know, have you seen scars before when you had an injury and the injury is gone, but the scar is there? Each time you see the scar, you remember how it happened, what happened, how it's paining you. You almost want to use the scar as an excuse. So, as I was climbing the stairs, I started walking the way I was walking when the thing was terribly paining me, and I would hold the rail and just. But you see, as I was preparing for this meeting, I just kept praying all through. I said, I don't want to climb this place with this pain. I just kept praying all through, and seriously, that's it. It's gone. Amen. I didn't remember, it's when I was just about, and God just, hallelujah. Whatever it is that you are faced with, the Lord will fix it and you will testify with your mouth. Amen. Yes. Once more, I want to say a very big thank you to Setman and the pastorate for this opportunity. I do not take it for granted. Thank you, sir, for your leadership, for your training, your teachings, and we are growing. God bless you, sir. Amen. Can we just pray? Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word that comes forth. Lord, we pray. As our hearts are open, we receive from you in the name of Jesus. will not hear no man, but we hear you speak to us. Open our hearts, open our eyes. Lord, that our minds will be renewed, transformed, blessed, and our lives will never remain the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, last week we looked at understanding atmospheres and spiritual coverings. Understanding atmospheres and spiritual coverings. So today I'm just going to do a continuation of that. You know, I stopped at looking at the components of an ideal environment. We're talking about environment, you know, your environment, when we're talking about atmosphere. Okay, so today we'll be looking at components of an ideal environment, still under atmospheres and the spiritual coverings. Hallelujah. Okay, and I said, number one, there are four components. Number one amongst the components is your pastor. Praise the Lord. Your pastor. I'm happy I'm sharing this because my life is an example. It's a very good one. It's a very good example. I remember once I was very young. Deeper Life had just moved to our place there then, and my mom gave them a place where they were fellowshipping, and then she would force us, we'll go to church. Whether you like it or not, you just go. And then we'll go to church, and I remember two of my siblings, they don't like to go to church. So when we get to church, one, they would separate them because ushers, they've known them. One, they will put one at this end and put the other one at the other end. So, but they still find a way to communicate. All they do is just use eyes to talk and look at people. They just come to church and just look at people's hair, clothes, shoes, and they just discuss and just find reasons to just laugh. And they just laugh all through the service and go home. When they ask them questions, they don't know anything. They didn't even get anything in service. That's just all they go to church to do. By God's grace, I would go to church and listen to God's word, and I'll be asked questions and I will answer. It got to a point where if I want to go to church, they will hide my Bible. And they say, not only you not like God for this house, they'll hide my Bible. It got to a point where the clothes that I've prepared that I want to use to go to church, one day, my brother soaked it in water and it was time for service. He's not doing it like he's wicked, though, but it's just for him, it's fun. But for me, I've seen it as persecution. You know that kind of a thing? Because you know that kind of, I don't know, maybe the way you people are looking at me, you didn't grow in that kind of home. Where you have siblings who prefer to stay home than go to church. For them, it's better to stay home than go to church. And then you'll be looking for your Bible. They've hidden your Bible. They've put deep your cloth in water so you won't even go. And then when your friends come, maybe your classmates come, they say, that's when they will say, come, maybe you want to go for evangelism and all that because I have teams of people that will do things together. Is it time today to wash plates? It's not going anywhere. You know, all those kind of things. They're like, You know, all manner of things. But you see, those were things that made us strong. At a point, my mom called the pastor and said, I want my son to go live with you. And that was a turning point. But it helped me. I went and I just packed my things and joyfully went to live with this man. I still remember his name, Reverend Dr. Olu Lawrence. And I lived with him till he got married and all that. It was a great influence. It was a great influence, yeah. In as much as I didn't really like as I was growing, I really didn't like certain things about the ministry. Yes, of course, you know now. But I got a lot. I learned a lot. I grew. I got closer to God. I got to know God more. His lifestyle was also a huge influence. Amen. A huge influence. You know, far from the fact that in our services, we don't use, we only use hand to clap and all that. I didn't like that. So I love music. I love to worship and all that. But apart from that, every other thing I just loved. And he was a huge blessing. So like I said, the first thing is a pastor. Your pastor is one of the components of an ideal environment. Amen. Your pastor is a huge and one of God's mighty blessings that can never be in your life. Praise the Lord. Growing with him, I remember very well that he had stickers in some places. I still remember some of the stickers. I still remember what is written on some of those stickers. Funny enough, I still remember his phone number. It was a landline. So I never forgot it. So many things. So you can imagine that if I remember landline number, so you can imagine the things that I know. Some of his favorite scriptures. Because he was now like a father. Because at that point, my mom looked at it that if I leave this boy long enough here, they will drown him. With the way all my siblings were going, they would drown me, you know, in all their fights and all that. So, and then from there, we grew to a point where, funny enough, I lived with a lot of pastors growing up. Living with pastors is not easy, I hope you know. Do you know? If you've lived with one, you know. Try to stay with set man, you know. I've not lived with set man, though. But I know that it's not easy. I know, because if you are lazy, you have to wake up. They wake up very early in the morning to pray. At that time, when your sleep is sweetest, so you don't want to wake up 4 a.m. As Remy is looking at me, you wake up. So my father cannot be praying in the morning and I am sleeping. No, it can't happen. Not under the same roof. No. You wake up. You shame not to catch yourself. You know, you want to emulate something that's good. You want to copy something that is good. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians. You know, for pastors, they discipline themselves a lot. So for you to be around them and grow with them, you must be able to imbibe, you must be able to learn those things. If you must grow, except you want to be a bad son or a bad child. Believers ought to enjoy the potentials in their pastors. You know, because God has blessed us with them. God has used them to bless us. So you need to enjoy the potentials that they have. Amen. So many people, even when you have questions, you're afraid to ask Setman. Or you're afraid to ask Pastor Miwa. You have questions. You can't even say, Setman, I won't see you before. So that's okay, yes, I'm here now. Say, don't worry, maybe another time. Afraid, just cash you, bam. You just say no. You postpone. Say, maybe another time. Or it's not happening. It's happening now. I know so many people say, Pastor, I want to see you. And the pastor says, yes, I'm here. And I say, hey, I've forgotten what I want to say. Oh, okay, maybe another. When I remember, I'll call you, sir. No. You should be free. You should be a bottle. And that's why they are there. That's why they are there as a blessing in your life. Amen. I'm not sure someone will ever get tired of taking your questions or answering your questions. That's not to say when he wants to go home, that's when you say, I have 20 questions I want to ask you. No, but that, of course, I know that he's ever willing to give answers because he's a shepherd. Hallelujah. And the work of a shepherd is to tender the sheep. I hope you know that. Praise the Lord. So like we said, Ephesians chapter 4. Yes, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, and his gifts were, he himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, some prophets, preachers, and some evangelists, of the gospel, some pastors and teachers, his intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints. So for your perfection and for your equipping, that's why they are there. That's why your pastors are there. So you should be free to walk up to your pastor like your pastor is your father. It's like your spiritual father. He's your spiritual father, not like. That's who they are. That's who they are. I've had questions sometimes. There are questions I don't even bother to answer. Man, I just engage Pastor Tooks and those, because there are some questions. You know, Pastor Tooks is a teacher. There are some questions I just ask, and she just pam, pam, pam. It's just like the thing, just the switch. She even like that. She will just, you are shaking your head. Oh, it has happened to you, right? Uh-huh. Ah, Pastor Tooks will just give you. He will give you from scriptures. And then you digest and everything, you get answers. Amen. That's why they are there. Engage them. Use them. Use them. I mean, when I say use them, I mean engage them. Let them be a blessing to you. Praise the Lord. So, a pastor is an ideal, one of the components for you to grow, that will help you grow in an ideal environment. We are in the church. So, you cannot live here and go and ask one person out there what you are supposed to ask from scriptures. If you like, go and ask Peter Obi, he doesn't know. If you ask Atiku, he doesn't know. Hello? You know why I said that? Let me tell you. Most times people confuse a coach for a pastor. A coach is not a pastor. A coach can coach you from a distance. The man like me, he did for Canada, he did for UK, anywhere. He can be training you and doing, a coach can be coaching you. But your pastor will hold your hand and show you the way, lead you, direct you, help you grow. And that's what has happened to my life. Amen. When I walked into this ministry 12 plus years ago, there were things I was still doing that I didn't know were wrong. But from having not a coach, but a pastor over my life, and recognizing their place and engaging them, I have learned, I have grown, and I'm still growing. Praise the Lord. So they say, pastor. And then you're seeing pastor like God. And you're saying, hey, even when you're doing wrong, walk up to pastor and say, I'm doing this thing. I like Dari a lot. I remember when we were still in Magrelos. If we have somebody who parked wrongly in front of the church, Dari can come out of the church and brush the person, and if he can carry the car and throw the person out. But you see, Brother Dari, you see today now, mash himself now. We know, we just look at you and laugh. We just laugh. It's the work of a pastor. Praise the Lord. Because it takes a pastor to mentor, to teach, to hold your hand. And so a pastor is a gift to your life. Amen? I've hammered on this one too much, so let me stop there. Praise the Lord. Number two component we'll look at is the church. Hallelujah. The church. The church is God's system of operation. God's system of operation. And it's one of the components for an ideal environment where you can have the right atmosphere and coverings over your life. Hallelujah. The church is like God's greenhouse for nurturing us to grow. Amen. God's greenhouse for nurturing his children. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Verse 18. I'll take it from 18 to 20. Jesus approached and, breaking the silence, said to them, "All authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Amen. So let it be. Hallelujah. See, he said, teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you. So the church is the right place where, just like the system, like I said, the church is God's system of operation, God's greenhouse for nurturing his children to grow. So the pastorate, they take time to develop themselves. They take time to spend time with God, pray, study God's word. So they come to feed us. Something happened when I noticed recently that I told my wife, I said, these birds, they have some sense of, some level of sense in them. When my birds, the you know what happened? When I come into the poultry now, when I get into their pen, they just start following me. You know, mostly when I come in the morning, I'm the one who feed them. So now they know that anytime this man is around, food has come. So even when I'm not carrying anything, you see all of them just troop. Like my wife, we say, are you people, they say, what? She said, are you people delegates? You know the way delegates were running after bags of money? They just run, follow me like I carry a bag of money. You see them, all of them just running and following me. They will just follow me and say, I am not with food. They don't care. They will still follow me. If I just try to pick something on the ground, they just rush that in as if I'm dropping food. So, I'm borrowing that to say, the church, the work of the church, God is equipping us so that we can launch out and reach out to the world and bring them into the kingdom. Praise the Lord. So the church is another component. It's another very good environment, an ideal environment where we can grow. Praise the Lord. The reason why I can stand here or I'm going home, Victoria can approach me and explain something and I can understand, is because we are studying from the same, you know, like your classmates, textbook. We are worshiping in the same atmosphere. There are certain level of understanding. I don't need to break my head or carry note and paper or come and wait her to explain some things before I understand. So, and that's the reason why the scriptures will use words like iron sharpening iron, because we are on the same playing ground. We are on the same level. Are you getting me? It's totally different from if the man who worships Shango comes now and wants to explain some things to me. It will be different. Or the man who worships something else. It will be different. But because of the environment where you're in, it's easy. Brother Yemi wants to explain certain things. Brother Yemi is telling me now that, Mr. Sashiri, I need you to pray with me. I will understand. But imagine a native daughter hold calabash on one hand and hold on that and say, come, Babe, oh yeah, let's, we are one start. It's a total different thing. Praise the Lord. All right. So, also the church, through systematic and organized trainings, also helps us to grow, helps us to metamorphose from one level to the other. So you see people who come to church for the first time, and they are something that's like, you mean people are this word? And after a while, you see them, you say, wow, I didn't know people can transform so well like this. I've seen it. Somebody said once, a pastor was teaching, he said, when people come to church, no matter how they come, leave them. The church is like a hospital, it's like a clinic. Let them come. Over time, you see that person become transformed into something else, and the person is serving in the ministry, and you're like, wow. So tomorrow when the person goes out there and he's saying to the people who look like what he or she looked like before, it's quick for them to get converted than for you going to them. You know why? They know this person. They say, if God can transform this one. And that's what happened. I tell you, when Papa Ayo was talking to the people he was preaching to, he went somewhere one day, I was preaching to them, and they wouldn't listen. It was evangelizing, I was talking to them, they wouldn't listen. And they were busy wrapping weed. And he was the captain, the chief of them all before. They were just busy wrapping the weed. And he got angry. He said, you people are not even doing this thing well. Let me show you people how they do it. We are the chief custodian of a weed company. And then he took it from, and they're like, ah. So he introduced himself. And they're like, eh? All of them, they followed, they packed, followed him. They packed and followed him. Amen. Amen. So you see, Bob Risky, you are condemning him. If God transforms him today, whether him or her, anyone he be, if God transforms the person, do you know, he, she, will be a better asset to bring those that are on the same page with him to the kingdom. So I'm saying this to say that when you meet people who behave in certain ways different from you because you have encountered Christ, don't look at them with that condemnation. He said, look at them with pity, but with concern that, oh, that God will touch them. You know why? Because they are faster access, easier access to get their lives into the kingdom. Praise the Lord. So that's the work of the church. The church is a clinic, and it's meant to transform lives and heal people and help them help others to recover as well. The church community is where you find purpose. Yes. I just wonder most times how useless I would have been if not for the church. How useless if not for the church. So the church community is where you find purpose. Hallelujah. Number three component, covenant friends and relationships. Covenant friends and relationships. We're doing a relationship talk show one time, and I mentioned something. You see, when you have people who are looking for a spouse or a life partner, and then they go looking for the qualities, that when you ask them, say, ah, he has to have broad chest, tall, dark, 6 feet tall. Everybody cannot be tall like that man. 6 feet. And then they are running from the people who have amusement park, are running to those who have 6 pack and all that. And then after all the choice they make, you will not see them put one whose heart is after God. They are just doing check and balance on a child of the devil. You want to be the devil's daughter-in-law or the devil's son-in-law. After choosing all that qualities, there's nothing that represents Christ in there. And one of the things, a lady mentioned her story. Her experience, how she's been abused in her marriage. And when we looked at it in that talk show, I asked her a simple question. And from the answer, this is what I got. When people, from the time they started dating, they go to an eatery. You know, ladies like two things they don't joke with, recharge cards and eatery. When the relationship is starting, yes. Recharge cards, ice cream. Let's go to Domino's. Let's go to, what's the other one that's the brother of Domino? Cold Stone. Ice cream, pizza, you know, all those beautiful, that's the one that consigned them. And then they're about entering the eatery, and the gate man did not open the gate well, and he scratched the man's car small. The man came down, and the gate man is an elderly man. He came down from the car and gave the man a dirty slap. He said, yes, serves him right. My ice cream. It's your ice cream that is concerning you. You're not seeing the man's anger. You're not seeing his dirty attitude towards humans. Ice cream, recharge card, pizza. Tomorrow, when the person is getting the beating of her life, that's when she'll say, oh, God Almighty. Where was God when you didn't remember God when you were choosing 6 feet tall, 6 pack, everything, 6, 6, 6. And you have picked. You are seeing the 6 beating. Now you are remembering heaven. That's when they begin to pray, every enemy from my father's house. Nalayo, they were not there. So covenant friends and relationship, we need to begin to build relationships, friendships that leads to the right path. Amen. So when you have reason to call a friend that, my child is developing this, or this is happening, or they know what to say because of who they are, the kind of people you surround yourself with. Praise the Lord. Covenant friend. Who is a covenant friend? Remember the story of David and Jonathan. That's the kind of friend to keep. A good friend. That's a good friend. That's the kind of friendship to keep. The kind of relationship to keep. Not, when I was in Enugu, there's this this guy. My wife will remember him. She's shaking her head now. This guy is always a friend in need. When you look at a friend in need in the dictionary, you see his name there in the dictionary. For example, they put his name there. He's always a friend in need. So everywhere, he's using it to blackmail everybody. He will be blackmailing us emotionally. He will come and meet you and say, you know, they say a friend in need is a friend indeed. He will beg you, say, there's this word he always uses. Say, if it's not using that word, use what are friends for, if not to inconvenience one another. You just say, okay, oh yeah, take. Even when it's not, oh yeah, take. So those are the two, they know him for two things. Either you say, a friend in need is a friend indeed, please give me. Or you say, what are friends for, if not to inconvenience one another. Don't inconvenience my life. That's what he knows. He never gives anybody, but he collects from everybody. So one day, the day God will catch him, he came to our place. we call him uncle because he's uncle to everybody. He's a deacon in church. So he has this large heart, his house, everybody, all of us, we all live there. So one day, it was morning devotion. So he came, and during morning devotion, the man was teaching, and he said, a friend always in need is a bloody nuisance. Everybody just turned. It just be like, said, nobody told the man anything, but you see, when God wants to deal with you, it was his day. And then, everybody just there. But he said, hey, yes. Say, Dede is uncle. Say, Dede, preach it. And that's what the man hammered on that. Say, a friend always in need is a bloody nuisance. And he started talking about the prodigal son. And then he used some other, that you should be a blessing rather than always seeking to be given, to receive. Hey, it's like they just opened the boy's chapter that day. After that day, if he comes, he will only scratch his head. He will just try to avoid that, because if he starts by saying, what are friends for? Or is a friend in need? He knows that the response will be, it's a bloody nuisance. It's not. So no more emotional blackmail. No. Hallelujah. Let's see Proverbs chapter 13. Build good relationships with people. I remember one of those days when my wife's niece, Choma, when she came near, Choma used to be very, very quiet. So my wife said, go around and greet people, make friends, meet people. She said, auntie, I've met people. She said, how many people did you meet? He said, two. He said, no, it's not enough. Go and meet people. Praise the Lord. And that's what should happen. That's what should happen. Before, when Sister Remy comes, she'd always sit down only one corner there. But now she goes around and she greets people. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. It's good. Amen. You don't know how much you make people feel when you reach out to them. And that's what we should do too when we don't see people around. Members of the church, you've not seen them, you've not seen Sister this or Brother that. Reach out to them. Say, you don't need set man to tell you to do so. Just say, I miss you. It's been a long time. Blah, blah, blah. They will be happy. Praise God. Okay, Proverbs chapter 13. Let me be quick on this one. 13 verse 20. He who walks as a companion with wise men is wise, but he who associates with self-confident fool is a fool himself and shall smart for it. Praise the Lord. What are the kind of based on the third one we talked about, covenant friendship, covenant friend and relationship, the kind of people you should keep as friends that would help you grow speedily if you are the type who finds it difficult to make friends, your pastor, you can start from there. If you can make friends with your pastor, you can make friends with anybody. I hope you know that. Because many people are like, ah, pastor. They are not spirits. They are human beings. And you learn a lot from them. I learn a lot from Setman, honestly. No, Setman is very, very intelligent. Setman knows. There's hardly any topic you bring that Setman does not have a clue about. So that will help you to be wise. It will help you. You see what we just read? If you follow a wise person, in fact, even if you're not wise, if you're not sharp, people will assume that you are. No, not them. They are intelligent. Let them. Oh, this class, they are intelligent. Let them go. Praise the Lord. Another one is your spouse. Married or not, make relationship with the kind of people that people will see and say, ah, you made a good choice. Have a good friend. You know? Praise God. Don't keep that kind of friend that you are afraid, you are ashamed to show people. Say, this is my friend. They ask you, is that your friend? Say, no, we just work out together. Eh? Yes. Number three. Okay, the third one on that, the kind of friends to keep and relationship. Friends who are on same journey with you. I love this one. Friends who are on same journey with you. Was it Setman or someone that said, talked about a sticker that says, if you don't have anything to do, don't do it here. Was it? You have some people that are not going anywhere. You prepare yourself from house. You want to go to Ojota. And then you came out from Ogudu Express. You just see somebody going to Rio, okay, you follow. You see another person going to Alakbere, you follow. You have forgotten that you set out that you want to go to Ojota. You have lost your way. So you must make up your mind to move only with people who are on same journey with you. Same journey with you. Heaven is the goal. Don't make friends with people who have no head. They can't even think. They don't know who made them. They don't know. They don't have fear or respect for God or anything. Praise the Lord. Yes, the last one is mentees. You should have people that you're already mentoring, people you're already influencing, people you're already reaching out to, that through your lifestyle, you are already influencing them for the kingdom. Amen. Those you are mentoring, praise the Lord. You know you can influence lives, right? Yes, you can influence lives. Get people on your journey so you don't drift apart. Get people, reach out to people and say, I'm going somewhere, come with me. Come to church with me. And that's what we said. I remember when I was asking some of the people who came for the last program, most of them, Kenny invited them. Even though you see Brother Kenny, they just say, ah, Kenny. He invited most of the people. And I was very impressed. I put a call across and I said, Kenny, you invited so and so and so. He said, yes. I said, thank you. So drag someone along with you. I'm going to church. Come with me. I'm going to fellowship. Come with me. It will bless you. Hallelujah. Now what I'm trying to practice, and I started it this evening, when they share the link for service, I share it to 1, 2, 3 persons that are not church members that I can reach out to, so that they too can be partakers of the blessing. It's not good to eat alone. Share God's word. That link, when they share it on the WhatsApp group, share it to 1, 2, 3 persons. Tony, you can share to your fellow coppers. Let them just follow the service online. And who knows? God is going to reach out to their lives and bless them through you. They don't necessarily need to be here physically. They will still be blessed anyway. Amen. So the fourth one, like I said, is your assignment. Number four, the fourth component for an ideal environment is your assignment. Praise the Lord. There's an assignment for everyone. I hope you know that. We all have an assignment. We all have an assignment. There's an assignment for you, a companion for you, a tribe for you, find them. Find them and stay there. There's a tribe for you. Hallelujah. When I say tribe, I mean you have your own circle of influence, your own circle of people that you can reach, that even Satan himself cannot reach. You are meant, you are destined as a matter of assignment to reach out to these people. If it's not you, no one else can reach them. And you must take it seriously. Lord, this is my assignment. Lord, this is my assignment. There is something Aaron was doing. Moses wasn't doing everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses wasn't doing everything. A time came where Moses even had to lay hands on Joshua and say, carry on. So there's an assignment for everyone. Hallelujah. What is meant for Joshua to do, Moses cannot do it. What is meant for Solomon to do, David cannot do it. So in that your compound where you live, it could be your assignment. In that place where you work, it could be your assignment. The lives there in your place of work, it's not Satan that will come to your office and say, I am her pastor. I have come here to see. No. That is your jurisdiction. That's your area. That's your place of assignment. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy, as I get ready to close, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by appointment and command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true son, in the faith, grace, spiritual blessing, and favor, mercy, and heart, peace be yours. From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I was on my way to Macedonia, stay on where you are at, Ephesus, in order that you may warn and admonish and charge certain individuals not to teach any different doctrine. Stay where you are at. So that place where is your tribe, that place where God has assigned for you, stay there and work with the people. As you get instructions, as you draw, you feed them. That's the reason why I started sharing that link. Because there are people I may not be able to reach out to due to distance, and I'm in the service. Let them feed from what I'm feeding from. If a flyer comes out for a program, share to people. If you can't reach them, electronically send through WhatsApp to them. If the link for the program comes out, share. The civilization... technological advancement has so helped us to reach out to people even without having to physically stress ourselves to transport to go. You can't say you want to go and reach somebody in Kano. No. If you can't send through any means, then your prayer also will do something. Amen. Amen. That's why I like the fact that we prayed for our country. It's time for us to also begin to pray for the people in our compound. Amen. Not when anything happens, you begin to sing. There are people who know how to sing side this thing. And then it's that song that is not kingdom song that is sending a message to the company. People say, anywhere waiting, I got that. Holy Ghost fire. No. You are a love being of a love God. Amen. Your presence in the company should mean so much to your neighbors. They should be the one running to you and say, Come and pray for my child. Come. You know, they should come to you based on the kind of person that you are. Praise the Lord. Let us rise up on our feet. They should be able to come to you freely. They should be able to come to you and associate with you and be able to ask for your hand, ask for your help, ask that you pray with them, ask that they want to even follow you to church. I remember once in one of the compounds we moved to, I think I was in primary school. I ran to this brother who was, it was when I got to church, I found out he was the choir master. He had a pickup. So I told him, I said, I want to follow you to church because we've moved. I said, I want to follow you to church. And he said, okay, but you don't mind, hope you don't mind staying at the back of the back. I said, no. And I was following him. And when I got there, it was Shosho God Mission. And then it was the choir. And I really was enjoying the service. Praise the Lord. So people should be able to run to you and say, I want to follow you. I want to go to this your church. I want to serve this your God. I want to serve this your God. And not that for everything, you see, that will say, I will give you my pastor's number. Or, set man, I have this neighbor who wants to meet. No. We were in service one day and one guy came and met Mr. Sajiri outside and said he wants the pastor to pray for him. Mr. Sajiri said, Pastor, service is on. Pastor. He said, No, I want the pastor. I want to see the pastor. I want the pastor to pray for him. Mr. Sajiri came to call me. I said, okay. And I met the guy outside. He said, what did he say? He said, I want to be born again. I want to be led to Christ. And there and there, outside here, I led him to Christ. I brought him in to come and sit down. That's the guy you saw the other day with his hair like Mrs. Ajereson, with a golden hair. Praise the Lord. You know, some people, there are people you will meet, they meet you like that and say, lead me to Christ. I say, I will tell pastor and wife, or I will call set man, you will not send text message. Set man, please give me 2 scriptures for born again. Give me 2 scriptures to lead. People do it. Hallelujah. Set man has asked us before, when they press you, what will come out? So you ought to have loaded yourself. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've talked about 4 major components for an ideal environment that will help us grow in terms of having the right atmosphere and spiritual coverings. Your pastor, the church, the relationship, covenant friendship and relationship you keep. These are factors that will help us thrive and grow. Amen. Can we begin to pray? This evening, let's just begin to pray. Lord, help me, Lord. I will utilize every opportunity to grow. I'll make use of every opportunity to grow. Yes, Lebrade Shanda Brana Manti, Kadea Namaski Adadosha, Legrana Manda Rado, Shadamande Yado Saraya. I'll recognize my assignment. I will find it and I will run with it. I'll walk with my pastor. I will learn. I will humble myself. I will submit myself. Paul submitted himself. And he had to grow. Otherwise, there won't be the great apostle Paul that we know. I will submit myself to learning. I'll yield myself. I will not run from my pastor. I will run to him to learn, to grow, to feed well and grow. So that I can be a huge influence in my sphere, in my circle. The church, I'll build healthy relationship. Kayaraba kasi karada do sono remanaya.